life story from Trinity.
Claire from Trinity Debt Management. I'm a counselor, and the reason that I love working for Trinity is because I get to help folks with one of the hardest problems a family can face, and that's financial difficulties. In this day and age, everything is going up. You have higher utilities, higher grocery bills, higher fuel, and those credit card interest rates have gone up as well. We can help you with that. We can help you get lower interest rates, lower monthly payments. In just a few minutes, we put together a plan that gets you out of debt and keeps you out of debt. I love my job. It's a great program and a very smart way to find debt relief.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
I'm Claire, a Trinity counselor. Call me and become debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Good morning. It's 9:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. PSEG Renewable Transmission has filed a lawsuit in Maryland U.S. District Court, seeking a preliminary injunction against more than 100 landowners in Baltimore, Carroll, and Frederick counties. The lawsuit is asking the court to grant temporary access to private properties to perform field surveys related to the proposed Maryland Piedmont Reliability Project. The group Stop MPRP says PSEG does not want access for neutral data collection. Instead, it's a tactical maneuver to justify the unjustifiable. Maryland State Police honored more than 140 troopers, civilian employees, and allied law enforcement officers for their acts of courage, dedication to duty, life-saving efforts, and humanitarianism. State Police Superintendent Colonel Roland Butler Jr. says the individuals being recognized are often the first to take actions in critical moments. Stein on Sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
Hi, it's Bruce Elliott. Tim Kyle Electric is now Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Now, for years, they've been a trusted name in the electrical industry, serving residential and commercial clients with excellence and dedication. And now they're proud to bring their wealth of experience and exceptional service to homes that are looking for HVAC services. Now, during the winter weather, it's important to ensure your home is equipped with reliable heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling are here to cater to your needs, ensuring comfort and peace of mind for you and your family. The weather has changed, and now is the time to call Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Call them today, 410-876-9404. Remember, they also do outdoor lighting, plus service and sell all generators. For all your electrical and HVAC solutions, call 410-876-9404 or online, timkylecompany.com. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling, winner of Carroll's Best Electrician and HVAC Repair Company.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
The last time Jackson Holliday got a hit was 11 days ago. Last night, he put that all behind him in the bottom of the second.
Holliday drives one to deep left center. Thomas is back at the wall. Grand slam! Jackson jolts out of it in grand fashion. His second career slam.
Kevin Brown with the call on Masson, the seventh homer of Holliday's young career, breaking an 0-for-17 slump, and it was the signature moment of an Orioles 9-1 win over Cleveland. After the game, the 21-year-old talking like a veteran.
I don't really know how to gauge it on just 15 games or however many we've played, but I think we're fine. I don't think there's anything to worry about. I think we're hitting the ball hard, and I think it'll come.
More from the Ravens pre-draft press conference on Tuesday. Eric DaCosta asked point blank, does he fully expect Mark Andrews to be a part of the Ravens team in 2025?
I can tell you this, Mark Andrews is a warrior, and he's played his butt off for us, and his competitiveness, his talent, his attitude, his leadership is so valued here, and he's a great player.
And the Ravens picked up his $4 million roster bonus for the 25 season back in March. Coming up in 30 minutes, a lengthy injury update for the Birds. And that is Stein on Sports.
Want the truth about investing in retirement? The stuff Wall Street does not want to tell you? What if there were a strategy to capture significant market gains without the risk of traditional markets? Interested? Bill O'Reilly here. Would you like a retirement strategy that allows you to retire with confidence without the fear of running out of money? Then please talk to Rod Barowie and the Safe Retirement Solutions team. 410-266-1120. 410-266-1120.
At 9:07, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
Fine stretch of weather to get outside with the sunshine and the warming temperatures. They'll continue to warm up through Saturday. 65 this afternoon, 76 tomorrow, and Saturday, 85. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel. For Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Currently, it's 37 degrees in Westminster, 41 in Easton, and 43 in Kearney. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now. Woo! On Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Gosh, is it Thursday? It's Thursday. One more day until the weekend. Make the most of it. You know, we've got so much to cover today. I was putting the show plan together, and I didn't even know where to start, okay? I can tell you, I didn't know where to start. In the past 24 hours, I've learned so much about Mr. Garcia, who is currently in El Salvador, where he's a citizen, by the way. And I learned so much about Senator Chris Van Hollen. I learned so much about Mr. Garcia's wife, Jennifer. I learned so much about all of these people. And it's interesting because when you really break down what transpired here to initiate Chris Van Hollen to actually do something for once in his political career, when you're looking at the fact that the information that came out, which was very damning information against Mr. Garcia, and you look at the fact that the AP, there were so many other people in the press, had a lot of this information prior to Senator Chris Van Hollen deciding to go to El Salvador, it is a head scratcher. It is a head scratcher. The bombs that were dropped on Democrats yesterday was pure bananas. That's how I'm going to describe it. It was bananas. Because then I thought about it, by the way, and I looked at this and I thought, you know what? What's most interesting is I'm sure, I know for a fact that not only did the press have some of these tidbits that they tried to sweep under the rugs about Mr. Garcia, not only did they have it in the press, I guarantee you the DNC, Democrat elected officials, also knew at least about the claims from Mr. Garcia's wife. Now, before we left the show yesterday, we did talk about some of the claims of domestic violence. And let's be very clear, that is no funny matter. It is definitely very serious. And hopefully we can address all of this in a very serious tone surrounding domestic violence, because I don't want anyone to believe that I am mocking that in any way. Okay, when I'm laughing this morning and being sarcastic, it is about Senator Chris Van Hollen and the Democrat Party in general. So I just want to make sure that we have that understanding. But at the same time, I do want to get into the details here, because now, you know, Mr. Garcia, Van Hollen, and so many Democrats, they have put themselves in this position where now you've got to go through all of this with a fine-tooth comb. And I know for some, you know, of course, some of this is shocking. I've read online where some people have said, you know, the information that was made public should have been more private. But we got to this point because we had so many people on the left saying, you know, I can't believe President Trump or his administration when they say that they found all this evidence that Mr. Garcia wasn't on the up and up. There were so many people saying that Trump lies so much and his administration lies so much. You know, we're basing all this on, you know, trust me, bro, right? That was the source. Now, yesterday, of course, when we were talking about some of the allegations of Mr. Garcia being tied to MS-13, we didn't have really any public knowledge of that. So, of course, we had to say, you know, allegedly and from my understanding, those kind of words, because we weren't really quite sure. But then you had, whether it was Department of Homeland Security, whether it was Pam Bondi, the AG, whether it was Stephen Miller, the Deputy Chief of Staff, whether it was President Trump himself. Now you have all of this information, even the press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, you've got all this information that connects all of the dots. And now you know that this guy, Mr. Garcia, isn't who the media tried to portray him to be. The disturbing part about that is even after we learned more about Mr. Garcia, you still had Democrats coming forth, like Senator Cory Booker, saying that he still wants to go to El Salvador. For what, at this point, I don't know. You even have, and I have some audio for you today from Governor Wes Moore, because even after we saw Patty Warren, Rachel Warren's mom, at the press conference yesterday at the White House, and, I mean, talk about a heartfelt message. And remember, the trial for her daughter's murder just ended. It was just completed. And she was able to be there and talk to the press and talk to the entire world. And hats off to her. I can't imagine what she's going through. But, you know, I thought it was huge. I really did. And I actually have some of the sound from Mr. Garcia's wife. I think yesterday I told you how it sounded like she was, you know, really being disingenuous because she was reading off of this prepared speech. But the way that she had to look at this speech, and if you've ever done public speaking, I know many of you have, when you write something yourself, you know a little bit, you know, the gist of it, right? You know what you're going to say. You know, you don't have to look at every single word to get it out. Now, some people might say, well, she could have been nervous, could have been shy. And I can understand that as well. But when you hear her, and then I also want you to imagine that she continued to look at this sheet of paper the entire time, it definitely sounded like a script that was handed to her. Because there was even a moment where she said, you know, Kilmar, which is Mr. Garcia's first name, if you can hear me. And then she gives him this message. And I thought to myself, well, look here. If my husband was wrongly detained in El Salvador, and I thought possibly he could see me on, you know, any kind of news station or even hear me wherever he was, I don't think I would have to read a sheet of paper to make sure that he knew that at home that we love him and we can't wait to see him. That's not something I think that any wife would have to do. I could be wrong. Like I said, we can only judge but so much. Again, she could have been shy and very nervous. But I would think that that piece, you know, the message to Kilmar as he's behind bars, I would think that would come from the heart. And even if you wrote it down previously, I don't think you would really have to read it word for word, because, again, that message came from the heart. So these are things that I pointed out yesterday that I thought stood out, okay? Now, I want to get into this. First, I've got a clip here from Fox 45, McKinsey Frost. And I want to get into this because it kind of just breaks down what we've learned about Mr. Garcia and also the trip that Senator Chris Van Hollen took. Take a listen.
Fox 45's Mackenzie Frost joins us now with what we know about Garcia's case and the response from local and federal officials.
Yeah, Maxine and Mary, there are a lot of moving parts here with this situation, but what we know right now is that Kilmar Abrego Garcia remains imprisoned in El Salvador. And we know that Senator Chris Van Hollen was there today trying to have that meeting, but legal experts tell me there's little to nothing that Senator Van Hollen can do about the current situation. And as we continue to investigate, we're uncovering more questions about this entire situation. Support continues to grow for Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the Salvadorian national who was deported to his home country last month. Senator Chris Van Hollen boarded a plane Wednesday morning for the Central American country.
We are not going to stop fighting for his return until he is actually released.
The Trump administration admits deporting Abrego Garcia to El Salvador specifically was a mistake. But the story starts in 2019. Abrego Garcia, who was in the United States illegally, was arrested by Prince George's County Police in a Home Depot parking lot with three others. Court records show he was questioned about being affiliated with the gang MS-13, but denied any ties. He was not charged with a crime, and ICE took him into federal immigration custody. During an immigration hearing, court records indicate ICE offered a gang field interview sheet generated by PG County Police to prove MS-13 ties. That document revealed it was determined Abrego Garcia was a gang member because he was wearing a Chicago Bulls hat and hoodie, paired with the word of a confidential informant saying he was an active MS-13 gang member affiliated with an upstate New York clique. Court records show the detective who filled out the form had been suspended later. Prince George's County declined an interview request from Fox 45 News. We filed a public records request to get a copy of that gang interview sheet. Plus, new information is surfacing surrounding Abrego Garcia's past. The Department of Homeland Security posting portions of a protective order on social media, showing Abrego Garcia's wife said he punched, scratched, and bruised her in 2021. DHS saying, quote, he is not the Maryland man the media has portrayed him to be.
All right. Again, that was Fox 45's Mackenzie Frost. Just trying to get some background on this, because, again, this conversation we've been talking about all week. And she's right. There are a lot of moving parts. If you want to weigh in at any time, 410-WCBM-680, that is 410-922-6680. And I kind of start where she left off there, talking about the Department of Homeland Security and the information that they dropped just yesterday. Look, there was a lot that came out. And I don't know if you've seen this on their Facebook page or X or what have you. I'm going to read you the caption here from their X post. And again, this is from DHS. It says, Kilmer Abrego Garcia had a history of violence and was not the upstanding Maryland man the media portrayed him as. According to the court filings, Garcia's wife sought a domestic violence restraining order against him, claiming he punched, scratched, and ripped off her shirt, among other harm. This MS-13 gang member is not a sympathetic figure. So there you have the whole DHS. They're actually calling Mr. Garcia an MS-13 gang member, and they did that 19 hours ago. Okay? So when you hear people say, oh, I still don't see any definitive connection between Mr. Garcia and MS-13, remember, the Department of Homeland Security said there is absolutely connection. There's absolutely connection. And again, you know, these are the facts. Right, again, from Homeland Security's website, Mr. Garcia was illegally in the U.S. and had a lawful deportation order. Mr. Garcia was arrested and found with rolls of cash and drugs. Garcia was arrested with two other members of MS-13. Two judges found that Mr. Garcia was a member of MS-13. And Mr. Garcia's wife petitioned for an order of protection after instances of domestic violence. Remember, this wasn't just one instance that you had Mrs. Garcia file. I do see a text line here from Marty asking, is that really his wife and are those really his kids? Marty, that's a good question, because I did write this down. Not once have Democrats referred to Mr. Garcia's wife as anyone other than his wife, and then possibly at sometimes using her first name. They have not used a last name. I looked for it. They have not used a last name, and they have not said whether or not those kids are absolutely his. You are correct on that, Marty. It's a good catch, because I thought that was interesting as well. You know, she was at this protest, and we get back. I'm going to play you some of the audio from her speech as well, because, again, it wasn't that it was just disingenuous. Now that we know about the domestic violence charges, and then you listen to what she had to say, in my view, that actually backs further for me that she was being honest about the domestic violence charges, even though when it came down to go to court, she didn't show up in court. Now, that's not unusual, right? Many women will file against whether, you know, it's a husband or a partner if they did harm them physically in any way. And then to make sure that it all goes away, a lot of times they don't show up to court. And she said to the press, well, we decided to work out our issues and we were able to get past all of that. But I want you to keep in mind, there was more than one occasion that the cops were called for domestic violence between Mr. Garcia and his wife. You also heard that Mr. Garcia was picked up from Home Depot by police, and they said that he was standing there with two other MS-13 gang members. Now, of course, my mind, I thought, okay, there's a possibility that he was there. We know that there are many people that hang out at Home Depot hoping to get day jobs. Let's be honest about that. We know who it is. We know. And so I thought maybe possibly he was standing with these individuals trying to wait to see if they could get a job for the morning. I was giving him the benefit of the doubt. But then when they came back and said that he had the clothing and the markings for MS-13, and those MS-13 gang members said he was a part of their crew. Remember, an MS-13 gang member isn't going to say that someone's also a gang member unless they are, okay? They're not just picking up randoms and saying, oh, yeah, they're part of the crew. No, they go through a process to be able to become a MS-13 gang member, which means that Mr. Garcia most likely went through that process as well. We'll leave it right here for now. Don't forget you can call in, because we're going to talk about this all hour. Right now, we're going to have to check on the stock market, and we're going to have to check with our friend Tim Herb from RBC Wealth Management with today's Morning Market Flash. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Kim. Happy Thursday to you.
Happy Thursday to you.
I'm joining you on Thursday, but I was out Monday, like I said, so I wanted to add that third day to help you and your listeners and your show, of course, providing some commentary today. Just a reminder, tomorrow's Good Friday. So the stock markets are, in fact, closed tomorrow on Friday, Kim, in observance of Good Friday. But I'm still going to join you all tomorrow morning just to add some commentary, of course, to what's going on with the U.S. economy. So far, we've got a little bit of a seesaw going on this morning. Both the S&P 500 index and the NASDAQ futures are up here today on Thursday for the last trading day of the week, while the Dow Jones Industrial Average has, in fact, tumbled down by led by an 18% decline in United Health based on their recent earnings here this morning. So Dow futures are off, Kim, 525 points. But the S&P 500 futures, to balance that decline from the Dow, are up 16 points, and the NASDAQ futures are up about 103 points here currently. Yesterday, of course, stocks taking a hit. We had Fed Reserve Chair Jerome Powell stating that Trump's tariffs or levies could drive up inflation in the near term, and I quote, they are likely to move us further away from our goals. That's an end quote there. Yesterday, of course, we had a big sell-off in the technology names. NVIDIA, the chip maker, that giant stock dropped nearly 7% yesterday. They're big in the AI space, and they disclosed a quarterly charge of about $5.5 billion, Kim. So markets were down yesterday. Dow lost nearly 700 points. NASDAQ declining more than 3%. Hopefully, we can get a bounce back here today with the last closing, or the last day closing out the week here in the market, although the Dow, like I said, is in fact down today. Elsewhere, Eli Lilly jumped 11% in the pre-market today, trading after delivering positive trial results for a weight loss pill, Kim. So that's kind of interesting news to pay attention to, of course. But again, some stocks are up, some are down. We've got to get through the market open here at 9:30 and then see how things play out the remainder of the day for the close. So fingers crossed, Kim, we get a bounce back after yesterday's big decline. We'll have to wait and see. I'll rejoin you all, of course, tomorrow morning.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Tim.
I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore, Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. The past 35 years have shown advancements in every scientific field, and this includes how we as audiologists treat patients with ringing in the ears, also known as tinnitus. 85 million Americans suffer from tinnitus, and it is the number one disability experienced by our returning soldiers. Tinnitus is a constant sound in the ears that no one else can hear, and it can occur as a wide range of sounds. However, it is now treatable. If you suffer from tinnitus, let one of our doctors evaluate you and develop a treatment plan. Call our main number, 410-944-3100, or visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, so call 410-944-3100 when silence is not golden.
Joe Hartman here, owner of Perry Hall Investment Group. Now is a great time to sell your unwanted property for top dollar with no commissions or fees. Call me today at 410-989-5200. That's 410-989-5200.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Insightful news, commentary, the best guests you can imagine. And also, we are diving deep into the issues that matter, the philosophy that is guiding the left, what you can do about it so we can fight to win. So join us every single day where we talk about why the Constitution is the greatest political document ever written, why America is the greatest nation ever to exist, and what the citizen can do to rise against the regime.
The Charlie Kirk Show, weeknights at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WC. CBM and 99.9 FM in Hartford County.
It was 1980-something.
All right, we're talking about going south of the border. Yes, Senator Chris Van Hollen, he went to El Salvador. We were talking about it here on the show yesterday because he was posting videos as he was making his journey. And in each video, I could tell, like, he was getting, you could tell, even by, you know, the sound of his voice, you could tell that he was getting a little nervous and not sure whether or not he was going to be able to speak to any authorities or visit that prison at all. And many people pointed out, Senator Chris Van Hollen, as again, he might have somewhat of a small name here in Maryland, but when you're looking on at the national scene and now you're thinking about, you know, internationally, no one knows who Senator Chris Van Hollen is. Absolutely no one. No one outside of the U.S., I'm sure of it. And then also very little people outside of the state of Maryland. So I did wonder whether or not he's in a position in his mind where he could one day possibly run for the Oval Office. I don't know, because for me, the fact that he got up quickly and pulled this stunt so quickly, he didn't even wait for his colleagues. Because Senator Cory Booker, remember, he was already saying, I want to go. And Senator Chris Van Hollen, even after Cory Booker said that on CNN, the next day he still went on his own. And so for me, somebody that, you know, looks at politics every day, it almost seems as if, you know, he's trying to make a run at it as far as, you know, the White House. Because why else would you take this on and have this mission? And then when I saw his live feed where he was standing there talking to reporters in El Salvador, I mean, the whole thing looked to me like he wanted this breakout moment and to be this, you know, star. Like, this was his claim to fame. The problem is it blew up completely in his face. Mr. Garcia's record was then made public. Things that his wife said about him previously in regards to domestic violence, that was made public. And, of course, you had then the El Salvador president, he actually refused to meet with Senator Chris Van Hollen when he was down there. He said he spoke briefly to the VP, but the VP even told him, you know, there's nothing really we can do. He also said, if you want to come back after you schedule an appointment, you can do that. But it sounds like, even though he said he had some help from the embassy, sounds like he didn't get much help at all. So my question to you, of course, is, do you want to weigh in on all of this? 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I got Vince in Baltimore. Vince, what say you?
Hey, good morning, Kim. Yeah, first-time caller.
Welcome. Good morning.
So I've been following this case, and I think it's been getting so much attention because it speaks to some central questions. Like, for example, can our government designate anyone they want as a terrorist or a gang affiliate and then send them to a foreign prison known for torture with no due process? And if our government makes an administrative error, do they have to fix it? And ultimately, does Trump have to follow the orders of a judge? I think he does.
Well, I would say that usually in most cases, you don't see a lot of rogue judges like this legislating from the bench. I also think, you know, we noticed when the judges in the Supreme Court told President Joe Biden that he could not do student loan forgiveness, he still did it anyway. So I don't know. Again, two wrongs don't make a right, for sure. But at the same time, I think they're going off of this MS-13 note that was made by Prince George's County Police, and it was filed with the PG County Police. I think that's where they're getting this from, because, like I said, Department of Homeland Security, they're saying he absolutely is affiliated with MS-13.
Well, even if he is, I mean, the judge ordered that he has a withholding from removal, so that he was not to be sent back to El Salvador because of the threat on really his life.
I think, mistake, you're right, Vince, the mistake there was sending him to El Salvador, right? But at the same time, he could be removed with that protection order that he had. It just said not El Salvador.
Okay. Withholding from removal. Yeah, I mean, and it just ultimately, it's like, okay, like, our president needs to follow the orders of a judge. You know, like, that Judge Zinnes is saying, okay, what are you doing? Like, you're supposed to facilitate his return, and they just don't want to do it. They just don't want to do it. They don't want to fix their mistake.
Well, Vince, I appreciate you calling in. I got to take a break here. Thank you for being a first-time caller. We'll discuss more of this on our way back.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. There was silence from White House reporters as Patty Moran detailed the murder of her daughter at the hands of an illegal alien. Rachel, a Maryland mother of five, was savagely attacked before being killed. And Patty Moran, at yesterday's White House press briefing, said she can't understand how any member of Congress can stand up for the rights of illegal aliens over American citizens. D.C. federal judge says he has found probable cause to hold the Trump administration in criminal contempt of court for violating his order last month to turn around planes carrying deportees to El Salvador. President Trump has started negotiating tariffs with America's trading partners. Yesterday it was Japan. Today's Italy premier will pay a visit to the White House. Puerto Rico hit by an island-wide power outage. Utility crews working to get the lights back on. More details at srnnews.com.
Stay and relax with Hilton Garden Inn in Owings Mills with easy check-in using their digital key. Just download their Hilton Honors app. Whether it's a corporate event in Owings Mills, a leisure event, or get-together for drinks at the grill, you can always wake up to a made-to-order delicious breakfast to start your day. Reach out to their sales department for your upcoming catering and events. Call the Hilton Garden Inn, Owings Mills at 410-654-0030. You can always count on the Hilton Garden Inn, Owings Mills, making it right.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
By now you know the Birds won last night. By now you know they go for their first series win tonight. What you may not know is the injury status of what is a long list of pitchers for the Birds. GM Mike Elias starts us off with Zach Eflin.
He's going to start playing catch in a few days. I'm hopeful at this point that his stay on the IL will be measured more in weeks than months.
And then continues on to Grayson Rodriguez.
We still have a lot ahead of us in terms of bullpens, build up, live BP, ultimately rehab assignment, and I'm not ready to assign a timetable to his recovery yet.
Well, that's not good. Next up, Albert Suarez.
This is something that's going to take a while to heal. Not at the point yet of assigning a return ballpark date for him yet.
Still not good. How about Kittredge?
The rehab, he's throwing bullpens. All said, there is a possibility that he puts himself in a position to be activated before the end of May.
Wow, end of May? Now to Bradish.
Knock on wood, this is kind of flying along in terms of what you'd hope for from a Tommy John surgery. We'd be thinking about any sooner than kind of the later half of the summer.
Oh, my. And finally, Tyler Wells.
He has not started his mound progression yet, but that's going to come within the next 2 weeks. Also somebody that we expect back well before the end of the season.
And that is the depleted Orioles pitching staff in a nutshell. Coming up in 30 minutes, the Caps close out the regular season tonight. And that is Stein on Sports.
Since 2004, Jim Barbie Automotive in White Marsh has been your trusted name in automotive diagnostics and repair. Located at 10821 Philadelphia Road, we deliver dealer-quality parts and service without the dealer price tag. Need fleet services? We got you covered. Our ASE-certified technicians guarantee top-notch results for your vehicle. Call 410-335-8848. That's 410-335-8848. Or visit jimbarbieautomotive.com. Jim Barbie Automotive, where quality doesn't cost. It pays off.
Whatever you need to get done today through the holiday weekend, you're in luck. There's no rain in sight at this point through Sunday. A little more heat and humidity over the next couple of days. A gorgeous spring day today. A mild afternoon, 65. Tomorrow's even warmer, 76. Saturday, it's almost like a little bit of summertime, 85 the high Saturday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hi, I'm Kyle, founder of Blindster.com. I started Blindster in 2010 to make quality, custom-made blinds affordable to everyone. Traditional window covering retailers are expensive. Our prices are low and our blinds are guaranteed to fit. Blindster.com.
Are you looking for weekly updates about the economy, the stock market, or hearing about wealth planning topics? If so, tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:20 a.m. for the Morning Market Flash featuring Tim Herb, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor at RBC Wealth Management. For immediate questions, call us at 855-360-VIEW. That's 855-360-VIEW. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Registered investment advisor and member, NYSE FINRA SIPC.
At WCBM, we stand for freedom, hard work, and the businesses that keep our community strong. The local businesses that support WCBM share our values. They believe in you, just like you believe in America. So when you need a service, a product, or a meal out, support the businesses that support WCBM. Your dollars stay local, help hardworking Americans, and keep conservative talk radio alive. Check out our trusted sponsors at WCBM.com and tell them you heard them on WCBM, because when we stand together, we thrive together.
The Rob Carson Show.
For years, we'll be thinking right up there with Krista McAuliffe and Sally Ride. They will think of Gayle King as an astronaut. Who literally the day before was on her morning show talking about delightful summer salad recipes. And oh yeah, I get to ride on a rocket tomorrow. Gayle King is suddenly right up there with John Glenn, right up there with Buzz Aldrin, because she rode a rocket.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, good morning. Happy Thursday to you. It's your time to weigh in here. 410 WCBM 680 410-922-6680. Since we spoke last, a lot of information came out about Mr. Garcia. We were able to see what Senator Chris Van Hollen was able to accomplish in El Salvador, which was not much of anything. But it is your time to weigh in on this. And I've got some more audio for you as well. But, you know, I spoke earlier just a bit about Mr. Garcia's wife. And I spoke about the speech that she gave. And again, it is very hard for myself to believe that she, number one, wrote this speech, and number two, that it really came from the heart. And this is what we said yesterday prior to knowing about the domestic violence allegations from Mrs. Garcia. See, because it kind of connects the dots, right? It kind of makes sense why that speech she gave sounded the way that it did. I want you to take a listen really quickly here to that speech, if you could.
And I stand before you filled with spirit that refuses to bring down. I will not stop fighting until I see my husband alive. Kilmer, if you can hear me, stay strong. God hasn't forgotten about you. Our children are asking, when would you come home? And I pray for the day I tell them the time and date that you'll return. As we continue through Holy Week, my heart aches for my husband, who should have been here leading our Easter prayers. Instead, I find myself pleading with the Trump administration and the Bukele administration to stop playing political games with the life of Kilmer. Our family is torn apart during this scary time, and our children miss their dad so much. Despite the challenges we continue to face with the U.S. and the Salvadorian government, I hope that the strength of faith and the resilience within us will keep us standing after all the punches we continue to receive. Our ability to fight back against these governments are testimonies to the spirit of fight and restraint that God has given us. We will continue standing strong, and we will never give up on you, Kilmer.
Okay. And as you heard there, that was Mr. Garcia's wife. And it was very difficult for her to read that speech, right? One, she clearly didn't write it. Two, if you noticed, she hit all the major points there. She talked about it being Holy Week. She talked about the fact that he should be home leading Easter prayer. She mentioned the Trump administration. She hit all of those talking points that the DNC would want her to hit. And so I guess my thing is here, you know, perhaps you do want somebody to write your speech. Perhaps you're shy. Perhaps you're nervous. I get that. But none of that came from the heart. Not one piece of it. If you heard the long pause there, that is because she had to actually flip to the second page. She had no idea what it said. So it took her a minute, number one, to flip the page and then to really get her eyes on it. Again, I'm going to go to the phone lines here. One more quick note on it. If you have ever run for office or worked for somebody that has run for office or worked for anybody on Capitol Hill, you know that there is somebody on the team that is constantly running, online searches for opposition or any research, right? Well, I believe there's no way in the world that Senator Chris Van Hollen did not know about the domestic violence allegations from the wife. I believe they believed, or they thought, because she didn't show up for the court date, they must have figured that it wouldn't be a big deal, right? That it wouldn't be brought up in this manner because she didn't show up. I don't think, perhaps they didn't know, because again, this came from the Department of Homeland Security. Even after their opposition research, perhaps they didn't know some of her written testimony as she gave that detailed report, because that might not have appeared when they ran opposition on her to figure out exactly what her background was like and whether or not Mr. Garcia had issues before. So I would think that they knew that there were allegations at one point in time. But I don't think they knew that there was going to be written testimony pointing to photos and videos from Mrs. Garcia showing the cops the bruises and the scratches and all of that. I bet they never saw that. So they ran with this, and they ran with the wife, thinking that everything was peachy keen, but it wasn't. All right, again, I'm going to go to the phone lines here. I've got Tom in Pasadena. Tom, you want to weigh in?
Hi, how you doing, Kim? Blessings to you and yours, and I want to thank you very much for the opportunity. This is very deep, and yes, I agree with you that that speech trying to hit a lot of hearts. But I'm going to get back to the politician. Who's he work for? He works for the people.
Supposedly,
right?
Us. Supposedly, yeah.
Supposedly, there you go. So my thing is, like, how can he just go ahead and do what they want to do without the approval of the majority, okay? So it's like, look at the money and time being spent. There's better things that we need done. Who's going to pay for that? He should pay for that. If that's what he wants to do, it's his desires to do. Is it the public's desire in the majority? You feel my point? And I'll let it be at that. I'll digress.
Yeah, yeah. No, thank you, Tom, so much for calling in. I hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather. No, and Tom's right. Here's what we see a lot from the left, and I would say even especially here in the state of Maryland. They're constantly making decisions that absolutely no one wants, right? Case in point, the blueprint. The blueprint. The only people that really want the blueprint, again, teachers union, and some teachers that believe that they're going to get a raise. Other teachers, I think, realize that their class sizes are going to get much larger and they still can't discipline these kids. I guarantee you there are a lot of teachers that aren't on board with the blueprint. And, of course, we, the taxpayers, we're not on board with the blueprint. But they did it anyway. Same with Governor Wes Moore's climate change initiatives. We're going to spend $1.1 billion on trying to manage the emissions in the air, trying to control the weather. Are you kidding me? I have yet to hear anybody truly wanting that. And if you notice, the Democrat Party, they stopped this whole thing like, oh, we're going to make sure there's electric vehicles, by, what was it, 2030 or 2035? So President Trump gets in office and he says, no, we're going to do away with that. But if you notice, Governor Wes Moore no longer says that is something he's looking forward to do here in the state of Maryland. Have you noticed that? He stopped saying that altogether because I think he realized that was, just a crazy challenge to everyone. Number one, we're still all dealing with inflation. We heard from Tim Herb there with the tariffs. We're probably going to deal with more inflation. People aren't out here buying cars. They're not out here buying cars. And so, to kind of mandate on everyone, considering even the electric grid here, I mean, do you want rolling blackouts or possibly rolling brownouts? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I got my friend Gary in Kingsville. Gary, you wanted to weigh in?
Good morning, Kim. Happy Easter to you.
Good morning. Happy Easter.
They had Alan Dershowitz on TV the other day talking about this this issue regarding this Mr. Whatever his last name is, the Maryland father, and about returning him, about the judge's order. And according to Mr. Dershowitz, the president is obliged to obey a written judge's order. But at the time the plane took off, the judge had not issued a written order. He put something on social media or something like that he had not actually issued a written order in time for anyone to have to abide by it.
Okay. So the timeline was different. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that part, thank you, Gary, for sharing, because I missed that part. I know a lot of people have been saying that, and I look at it as, again, when it comes down to it, if even you have the president of El Salvador saying, we're not returning him, and you have those in the Trump administration saying, regardless, he will not be living here because you can still transfer him to another country, not El Salvador. I mean, I think that that's not really a point that the Democrats can hang their hat on at this point.
Well, I think Van Hollen is kind of like those women who went up in the shuttle, in that spacecraft. he spends a little bit of time accomplishing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And then wants to use that as a basis to run for president.
Yeah, somebody should do it.
The reason he didn't send Spartacus with him was that Spartacus would have taken up all the oxygen. They would have paid no attention to Van Hollen.
That's what I was thinking as well. Gary, somebody should do a meme where they put Senator Chris Van Hollen in one of those flight suits and then just have him. That would be great. That would be great. I love it. I love the comparison. Thank you, Gary, so much. Have a happy Easter.
God bless you.
God bless. Yeah, no, I didn't even think about that. Yes, it was basically the same thing. They went to space, accomplished nothing, got a lot of backlash. Senator Chris Van Hollen went to El Salvador, accomplished nothing, and got a lot of backlash. I did play for you there the audio from Mr. Garcia's wife. Now, think about, the way that she relayed that message to the world And now I want you to listen to the message from Patty Moran, Rachel's mom, just yesterday at that presser in the White House.
To have a senator from Maryland who didn't even acknowledge or barely acknowledged my daughter and the brutal death that she endured, leaving her five children without a mother and now a grandbaby without a grandmother, so that he can use my taxpayer money to fly to El Salvador to bring back someone that's not even an American citizen. Why does that person have more right than I do, or my daughter, or my grandchildren? I don't understand this.
And again, that was just a piece of what Patty Moran had to say at the White House yesterday. And she didn't have any papers in front of her. She looked, you know, at the press, looked at the camera, had no problem or trouble relaying the message. Now, I'm not saying that that should have been the same for Mrs. Garcia. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. But when you're talking about missing a loved one, there are pieces of that that would come from the heart. It just would. You know, and that's something, again, that stuck out to me. I got a text here from Joe. Joe says, Kim, while Rachel Moran's killer is still in the U.S. awaiting sentencing after his trial by jury, even though he's an illegal immigrant with no protective status and a criminal record, Mr. Garcia is languishing in a torture prison with mass murderers that threaten to rape and kill his family. Even though he has a green card, no criminal or confirmed ties to a gang. American citizens are next. Again, from Joe. Joe, you know, is Mr. Garcia languishing in a torture prison? I guess so. You know what? Through all of this, we haven't heard from Mr. Garcia at all. And I know for some on the left, that is a concern. They're wondering how, you know, what his condition is. But I agree with you that it's, you know, having Rachel Warren's killer awaiting sentencing, I agree with you that that's not cool. I wish he would be put to death today. I mean, I already said before, I didn't think he was, you know, due a trial. I know that's the opposite of what we do and what our Constitution requires. But at the same time, they had the DNA evidence. His neighbors and cousin said that he was living right there next to the trail. Quite literally, everything pointed to this guy, Victor Martinez Hernandez. And that's why it took the jury so little time to come back with the guilty verdict. You're right, Joe. He should not be awaiting sentencing. He should be dead. Thank you for pointing that out. Let's go to the next phone call. I got Patrick in Mount Washington. Patrick.
Hey, Kim. Thanks for having me. There is so much to say, but I disagree slightly with you on one thing. You say that his staff had to have known this stuff. I think it's like an episode of Veep. If you ever watch that show, I think his staff must be that clueless that all of a sudden he's probably yelling at them for the lack of preparation that now he's identified with a violent gang. Originally, I called because there used to be something called judicial restraint. And whenever courts had a question like this, your caller said, why doesn't Trump have to obey the court? It used to be in a question of foreign relations that judges would show some type of restraint. That's, of course, out the window because you have a guy like Mr. Boasberg on the bench who's got all sorts of family conflicts, et cetera, and sees himself as some sort of hero. We're all arguing about MS-13, mm-hmm. and it's great. It's entertaining to see Mr. Van Hollen have zero self-awareness of what he's gotten into. But as much as entertaining as it is to talk about how he's a gang member and the rest, he's an illegal with multiple deportation orders.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the debate is about.
Right. Well, and Patrick, he did file for asylum and he was denied. So, I don't know what the argument is either here. I guess for Democrats, it's like, well, it's just wrong. You know, I think that's what it comes down for them. But I mean, you know, he applied for asylum and was rejected. And like you said, he had deportation orders. Now, was it to El Salvador? You know, most likely not. But if they want the Trump administration to just move him to a different country, then we could do that. And I guess the conversation would be over, right?
Right. Well, like, you know, but for 4 years of this country's history, illegal entry was a crime.
Yeah.
Under Biden, it wasn't. And, you know, maybe we're all, it's some sort of hangover the Democratic Party's going through. That's a crime all by itself. I don't know why we're having the whole gang conversation. It's fun, and it's great to see Van Hollen drown politically.
Yeah.
I do hope someone like yourself is looking at his Senate seat.
Yeah, well, we got a deep bench of a Republican, especially those in Annapolis. And I appreciate the kind words, but I think, yeah, I do believe that he could be challenged. Thank you, Patrick, so much. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you. When we get back, we'll continue on this conversation. Don't forget, Delegate Mark Fisher will join us at the top of the hour. We'll ask him about Senator Chris Van Hollen's trip to El Salvador, but also we're going to ask him a little bit more about what happened in Annapolis this past session, because, again, you've got now local jurisdictions looking at the fact that they will most likely have to tax we, the taxpayers, even more in our counties to try to pay for the blueprint and other things that were made at the other decisions that were made at the state level. So we'll talk to him again at the top of the hour.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Very interesting. The judge that helped the Democrats cover up their Russia hoax is now threatening to prosecute Trump officials for ignoring his verbal order. Boasberg is back in the news. Judge Boasberg. He said the court had ultimately determined the Trump administration's actions on the March 15 deportation flights, which took place after he issued a bench ruling ordering the immediate return to U.S. soil, demonstrate a willful disregard for the court, insufficient for the court to be found in criminal contempt, which is sufficient, rather. And should they fail to answer his question by April 23rd, he said he will refer the matter for potential prosecution. Here we go again. More lawfare.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Artificial intelligence, AI, it's all you hear about. But how far away is it? And what are the potential threats from AI that could totally upend the way Americans live their lives? What will it do to the job market? What will the unemployment rate be? What does it mean for data privacy or cybersecurity? How about the banking system or national security? The ECB has already warned about a bubble in AI stocks. Could this spread to other sectors? If you have $50,000 or more saved for retirement, this may not be the time to wait and find out. Learn how you could help protect your life savings using precious metals like gold and silver. Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. On top of that, you could get up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. One more time, visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Hey, attention, Maryland business owners. Did you know that you've been paying into a program that can upgrade your lighting for free? Now, it's called Empower Maryland, and if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, every month, your electric bill includes a small charge that funds energy-saving upgrades, and now you can claim your share to replace any bulb or fixture with new energy-efficient LED fixtures at zero cost to you. Here's how it works. If we can reduce your energy use by 30% or more, you qualify for a 100% free lighting upgrade, whether you own an office, a church, or even a government building. And these LEDs, they last up to 20 years. Now, last year alone, we completed 424 projects, saving Maryland businesses thousands of dollars. So don't miss out. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. No job is too big or too small. Call now. Start saving today.
Need new blinds? At Blindster.com, they offer guaranteed low prices, guaranteed satisfaction, free samples, and free shipping. At Blindster, they take the fear out of ordering custom blinds, shades, and shutters, so you can do it yourself and save big. Blindster.com.
This is Danny Manoff from Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, LLC. Join us on Saturday at 1 o'clock for Justice and Why It Matters to You, our new show, to help individuals understand how the legal system works. Look forward to seeing you there.
The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM.
All right. We are wrapping up this conversation in regards to Mr. Garcia, Senator Chris Van Hollen going to El Salvador. We're wrapping it up for now because we have Delegate Mark Fisher joining us at the top of the hour. Real quick, I just wanted to play for you this audio from Governor Wes Moore. He actually posted this video after we heard the latest information about Mr. Garcia, the domestic violence cases, or allegations, I should say, and after we heard from Patty Morin, who was there at the White House and gave her heartfelt speech about her daughter, Rachel. He posted this, I think it was 2 hours after that. Take a listen.
32 days ago, the Trump administration deported Kilmar Armando Abrego Garcia to the one location that an immigration judge promised not to send him to, El Salvador. A Marylander, a union worker, a husband, a father, was placed in handcuffs in front of his son and forced onto a plane bound for a notorious mega prison. And last week, the Supreme Court upheld a federal judge's order that the Trump administration rectify this mistake and return Kilmar to the United States. This administration continues to ignore the legal directive of the nation's highest court. And every day, this administration shows that the rule of law is no longer sacred, that following the law is subject to the whims of the president, and enough is enough. For Kilmar's sake, for his family's sake, and for the sake of our democracy, I'm calling on the president to follow the law and to do what's right. Bring Kilmar home.
And again, that was Governor Wes Moore. After Patty Morin spoke, as you can hear there, he never even mentioned Rachel's name or anyone's name in that matter that has been killed here in the state of Maryland by an illegal immigrant. Kurt in Edgewater. Kurt, I got about a minute left.
Yeah, I just wanted to say anybody who thinks that an appointed district judge should have more power than a president of the United States is a fool.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what they're convincing them in the mainstream media. You know that's what's happening.
Can I ask you one other quick thing?
Yep.
Now, you're from PG County. I'm from PG County. I live near Riverdale, where it was called New Mexico. You're from Accokeek, which wouldn't know what Mexico was.
Yeah.
Where's this guy from? What area of PG County? There's a big separation.
Yeah, well, I saw filing the document there from PG County. They were at the Upper Marlboro Courthouse.
Okay, but it doesn't say where he lived.
No. Oh, no, it doesn't. Kurt, great point there. Thank you so much for calling in. Yeah, that courthouse that his wife went to was Upper Marlboro. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Delegate Mark Fisher.
Looking for a beautiful and functional upgrade to your home?